We are back. It's a Superstar Sunday here on America's longest-running Beatles show. And Engineer Mark says there's somebody I might want to talk to on the phone. Let me see here. Hold on. Good morning, Breakfast with the Beatles.
Hey, Chris, my goodness. All those Ringo records, how great is that?
Wait a minute. Is this the drummer of the Eddie Clayton skiffle group? The Raving Texans? Rory Storm and the Hurricanes?
Exactly.
The Beatles and his very own all-star band?
You know me so well.
Ringo Starr, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning.
Good morning, Ringo. Welcome to 3 hours of Ringo Starr time.
I know. How great is that, you lucky listeners?
In honor of your big night tomorrow. So, Ringo, how big is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on your list of big things?
It's huge.
I mean, have you thought over the years, gee, I'd like one of those?
You know, I've loved the idea of it anyway. The Hollywood Walk of Fame with all those stars and, you know, the idea that you're getting one, it's a thrill.
And I checked, you know, there's another star, K-Star, S-T-A-R-R.
I remember K-Star.
What was she, a jazz singer or something?
No, she was pop, actually, K-Star. I think her track was Half a Photograph. Was that hers?
I know she was on Capitol Records.
Anyway,
you know.
I'm sure one of your listeners will be dialing right now to tell us what her song is.
I'm sure they will fill us in. So, Ringo, a new star on Hollywood Walk of Fame and a brand new album, Why Not, which, you know, we played first here on Breakfast with the Beatles, Ringo.
Oh, well, great.
Because, you know, we love you, man.
You know what? You haven't mentioned, Chris, that the star... You know, last week Roy Orbison got the sort of last daytime star, so I'm going to be the first nighttime star.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
How great is that?
That's interesting, a nighttime star.
Yeah.
Very,
well,
very cool.
That's when they come out.
That's right. You get a bell for that one. So, Ringo, the album Why Not, tell everybody how you approached this new album as a producer, songwriter, and musician.
I approached it by sitting around here in L.A., and we have a spare bedroom, and I just moved in my computer in there with Pro Tools and a synthesizer and, my Roland drums, the synthesized drums, and just to see what, you know, just to sort of play, see what would happen, see what ideas I would have.
Right.
And that's how I started. And the first thing I actually played was Fill in the Blanks.
That's our favorite song here on Breakfast with the Beatles.
And so it just went from there, and then Dave Stewart passed by, so I said, put some guitar on this. And, you know, it was like if you landed at LAX or you passed my door, you're on my record. You know, it was so easy. I love L.A. for that.
You got some great writers, Van Dyke Parks.
I know. Well, Van Dyke I've known a long time. Harry Nilsson introduced me to Van Dyke in 1975 or 6.
Right.
So, you know, I've known him a long time, and I thought on this record, I want to just call up friends and writers I've never worked with. I did the tracks first. I mean, this record was like such a mad thing to do because I had all the tracks before I had any of the songs.
So you recorded the music first?
Yeah.
And then you started to, like, listen back to the music and try to put words around it.
Exactly. We got some sort of melody going, and then, you know... So everybody who came, I gave them a choice of two tracks, and which one do you feel like, and then we'd write to whatever one they chose.
That's a brilliant idea.
It is. Usually you've got the song, and you play the guitar or something, and then you'll build around that. So it was actually in reverse. You know, I had a great time making it, and the idea that, you know, I produced this one the first time ever to be the sole producer.
Right.
You know, I was in charge of it from start to finish, and Ben Montench, incredible piano player with Tom Petty, he came over, and, you know, it's actually, if you look on the record, it's a small band, really.
It's a lot of folks that you had worked with before. You got Billy Squire on there, Edgar Winter.
Billy, because I did some tracks in England, and Billy was in England, and he was visiting his a relation of his in England, and that day he was going to the Heathrow Airport. So I said, well, why don't you stop by on your way? And he did.
Well, it turned out fantastic. Tell me about the follow-up song to Liverpool 8.
The Other Side of Liverpool. Well, yeah. You know, after Liverpool 8, which was like, I was a sailor first, I was in the Merchant Navy, and then I went straight to Shea Stadium. And so I thought, well, The Other Side of Liverpool is actually where I come from, so it's like a mini autobiography.
So, Ringo, it's February 7th, Sunday, February 7th. Do you remember where you were 46 years ago today?
No.
You were landing in New York with the Beatles.
Oh, my God.
How about that? Yeah. So, Ringo, something interesting about that, and I'm not going to dwell on the Beatles too much, but that plane trip over from the UK to New York City, a lot of people don't know. Phil Spector was on that plane with you guys. Isn't that true?
It is.
Do you remember what Phil was doing there?
Well, we met Phil in England because there was a DJ who lived in the same street that George and I lived in.
Right.
We used to go to his house because he had great records and he knew the Ronettes and people like that. We would go over and meet them. And so, you know, just by chance, Phil was leaving New York and so were we, and Phil was on the same flight. And the difference with Phil and the Beatles were the Beatles sat down most of the flight and Phil walked all the way to New York. He was always walking up and down the plane.
The rumor was that he had missed his first plane, but he figured if he flew with the Beatles, he was guaranteed safe because nothing bad ever happens to the Beatles.
Fire. You know, where we were just so excited, it was great. And when we landed in New York, it was one of the most exciting moments of my life.
Isn't it hard to believe it was 46 years ago today?
It is, yeah.
Amazing. Speaking of the future, Ringo, are you going to tour for this album this summer?
Well, as you know, I just did some promotion with Ben Harper and his band.
Right, that was great, by the way.
Oh, it was fabulous, and Ben is such a charming man, and his band is great. And he's a great player, so it made my life easy. And this year, I'm going out with another all-star band, and Edgar Winter's coming with me again, and Gary Wright, and then I've got a new front line, which will surprise everybody, but the all-stars always, you know, it's always a surprise that, what, he's playing with them? I mean, they're playing with him. Who's playing? How will that work?
But hey, the All-Star Band, it's a great idea because it's like a review, you know? It's like old school thing. And
I always feel, Chris, that it's the best 1-800 live show.
Yeah.
But all these artists doing their hit, and we're all on stage. It's a win-win-win for me.
Absolutely. I got to ask you, Ringo, the Beatles remasters, what do you think of them?
Great. And you know why they're really great is because you can hear the drums now.
That's right. Hey, Ringo, I don't know if you saw this, but they made an Apple USB.
I've seen it, and nothing comes out unless we see it.
It's so cool. What people don't realize is when you get that USB Apple, it's basically the same quality as Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, that's the way to go with that Apple USB. It's very, very cool.
You know, with the Liverpool 8 record, my last CD,
right.
I put it out on USB.
That was a brilliant idea. Who came up with that?
I did. I invented it.
Ringo Starr on the cutting edge of technology, ladies and gentlemen.
I invented the USB.
So, Ringo, you look so damn good lately. This is a morning show. Tell everybody what you ate for breakfast today.
Oh, today was oatmeal and berries.
What's the Ringo diet lately?
Well, it's mainly, you know, it's a cereal, sometimes, you know, a muesli, or it's an oatmeal, depending on the morning. It's always with berries.
Ah, there's the secret.
And lunch is usually juice and a protein bar, fresh pesto pasta or steamed veg, something like that.
Fantastic. The Ringo Starr diet. That could be your next book.
And I've just studied my trainer, so I'm feeling fit.
Ringo, today's Super Bowl. You have a stake in the game. Do you care?
I do. I have $4.50 on the Colts.
There you go. So do you watch the game with your brother-in-law, Joe Walsh, like Americans would?
We're watching the game, yeah.
Beautiful.
I've just become a big fan since I got a home here in 1976, and I went over to this producer, Stu Levine's house, for a Super Bowl party, which, you know, who knew? Anyway, I had to pick a team, so I picked Dallas, so Dallas is my team. You know, I've just loved the game ever since, so I'm always here, or I'm usually here in, you know, end of Jan, early Feb, so I've seen many of the Super Bowls. And yeah, I'm supporting the Colts.
There you go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So, Ringo, we're digging deep into your solo catalog, all the way from Sentimental Journey right up to Why Not. Yeah. If you could pick a couple of songs you'd want to hear coming out of L.A. radios off the top of your head, a couple of Ringo faves, what would it be?
I'd like you to play Devil Woman, because I may even put it in the show on tour, so let's give that a plug. You know what I'd love you to play is Only You.
Ah, sure, we can do that.
And what else have we got? I'm the Greatest. I love I'm the Greatest.
Well, we are going to play that for you, my brother.
Okay, and then let's end my little soiree into the past with, just to blow their minds, Early 1970.
Early 1970, the flip side of It Don't Come Easy. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringo Starr picks the hits.
Chris, listen, have a great morning. Good morning to all those big fans out there. And it's Chris Carter, Breakfast with the Beatles, and I am Ringo Starr saying goodbye.